a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we'll warm up to 63 today, but how about tomorrow's 70s in the forecast? Rain comes and shuts her down on Monday to the mid-50s, back up into the 60s by middle to end of next week. Clear skies, we start out 37. It feels like 34 downtown at 7:07 at KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, KSLNewsRadio.com. This is Utah's all-day companion for news.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors,
brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals.
2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure.
KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes
on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Our number two of the program here for another Saturday, and I say it often, but we sure appreciate you being out there. Listening in, and for those of you that join me every day, Monday through Friday, on Utah's Morning News with Amanda Dixon, it's great to have you here every day of the week between 5 and 9 o'clock. Tim Hughes, along with Russ Smith from Sky Call here. We've talked a little bit about everything today.
Yeah, pretty much.
Navi got in some fishing, and we're going to be talking skiing. Navi's going to jump back on with us here in the next half hour with all the snow that arrived. Yeah. You said you were on the road recently?
My dad's here in Salt Lake. And
nice.
I got a call to run out to Uinta Basin, so he went with me. And I was a little worried we were going to get more snow than we wanted, but we're fine.
He's still in Delta, right?
Yeah.
Down in Delta. Yeah. During the power outages the other day up in the Cache Valley, I noticed there was some spotty power on the page that Rocky Mountain Power has where they list outages and how many people are affected. Out by Roosevelt and also in Delta, there was a spot where the storm actually caused some problems. Yeah. So anyway, you're going to have our camp spot of the week also coming up.
Yeah, we're going to Lone Rock there in Lake Powell, just as you come into crossing the border there.
Headed to Lake Powell. Also going to be checking in with Mark Wade coming up here in a few minutes. Road tripping with just Mark this week. Bob's off on his last tour, guiding work that he does for the season and for the year, I guess, 2021. So look forward to see where Mark wants to take us this week. Joining us next, though, is Russell Norvell, our Avian Conservation Program Coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources. We wanted to talk condors today. Mm. We touched on condors a couple of weeks ago because of the big release that took place, I think, the last week of September on the Arizona side. It was the Bureau of Land Management there in Arizona. And I ask you off the air, Russ, whether we are in concert with them. Is this a coordinated effort? And you said absolutely.
Absolutely, yes, it is. This is a program we've been working with in conjunction with Arizona and the Fish and Wildlife Service for over the past 10 years now. That release site down on BLM land is down by the Vermilion Cliffs. That's where the most of the wild condors are released back to the wild. And over time, as mentioned earlier, again, off the air there, over time they have been drifting north and enjoying more and more of Utah, more time in Utah than they have in Arizona.
I was just going to ask that question. Awesome. So how far
north? They prefer Utah, too.
Yeah, how far north have we had nesting birds, nesting condors?
Oh, nesting condors are very rare.
Yeah.
Few and far between. We have had two active nests in Utah this year, and that's been a remarkably good year for us, honestly.
Okay.
It wasn't even a few years ago we had no nests at all.
Right.
But the most northerly nest is currently, it's on the side of Angel's Landing there in Zion National Park.
Okay.
Having said that, though, the success with giving rebirth to this population has been amazing. They were on the endangered species list. What was it? 1967, somewhere all that far back, with a population of 22. How are we doing now?
We're doing quite a bit better. We just had the 1,001st condor birth in the wild there.
All right.
From that nest off the side of Angel's Landing. That was a great and public event. It's a great spot for the public to see that bird, too. We do have fewer than 300 birds alive in the wild, however, and we do somewhat struggle to keep that number up because they often have to get pulled back in for blood chelation to remove the lead from their systems. When we notice they're getting sick, we'll pull them in and trap them, pull them in and work on that. It's kind of a last resort. It's not good for anybody to have to go through that process. It certainly breaks up pair bonds, things like that, so we do get less breeding as a result of that too. But, yeah.
You know, we talk on the program, have on many occasions, about the memories of seeing your first eagle in wild flight, you know, while you're out on the river or out camping or something. I can't imagine that it would be any different of an experience for people that see one of these giant condors for the first time.
Oh, absolutely. It's a magnificent bird and really stunning. It feels like when they fly over, it feels like you've just been had a flyby by a small plane. it's something else. I just had a photo forwarded to me literally yesterday of a gentleman who sent a photo of a condor. In fact, the father of the pair down on Angel's Landing. And it was perched on a tree on that, the first plateau when you get up to Angel's Landing above the zigzags, Walter's Wiggles. That's where my dad and I first saw a condor.
How about that?
Boy, decades ago, which is really fun. It was a great, so I was able to share that photo with my dad. You know, remind him of what that memory was like, because it is something else. It's not something you forget.
Yeah. They do have a face only a mother could love, so looking at them from a distance is probably preferable, although I've had people tell me the same thing when they see me for the first time after listening to me for years on the radio, too. Let's talk about this project that has been ongoing for how many years now to help protect the condors?
You bet. Well, 10 years now, we've been working with hunters to voluntarily remove lead from the landscape. That's the primary challenge to having this population expand and grow and really recover, is that they scavenge a lot of lead from the landscape after hunting season. And that's what we'd really like to be able to work with hunters to use non-lead ammunition to provide them with a healthy source of food in the landscape.
All right. So what happens then, just to make this plain to everybody, a hunter might take a big game animal, gut it out, leave the gut pile, whatever, and there could be a lead bullet in there. The scavenger in the form of the condor comes along, eats whatever's there, consumes the bullet, and then it becomes deathly for them.
Exactly right. That's the scenario we're hoping to work with hunters to avoid as best we can. We offer both the opportunity for hunters to remove gut piles from the field and drop them off at DWR, and that helps enter them into a drawing for it's a prize drawing for one of eight rifles that we give away each year to help incentivize this activity, and also for everyone who uses one of the vouchers that we provide the hunters in these areas for a free box of non-lead ammunition. Everyone who redeems those vouchers or turns in a gut pile is entered into that drawing.
So there's checkpoints through the rest of this month in a couple of different places. One SR-14 in Cedar Canyon, the other at the intersection, and I don't know where this is exactly, Yellow Jacket Road and Hancock Road. Where is that? Coral Peak.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's the Zion unit, kind of a porous unit. There's a lot of roads in and to and out of it. So we try and pick a couple of strategic locations where folks can have a convenient spot to stop and drop off a gut pile if they so choose. And also to get information out to folks who are just passing by and maybe have questions. It's a voluntary proposition, unlike Arizona, which has mandatory check stations. Utah is a voluntary, all-voluntary operation. And we're out there every weekend in October at these locations trying to get folks more information and looking for those gut piles as well.
And those,
obviously, we'd love to have the a non-lead gut pile left out there for the condors. That's just food for them.
Yeah. And those prizes you were talking about, that's a nice touch for these checkpoints, including five $800 gift cards that have been donated by the Peregrine Fund for outdoor equipment. Just, yeah, good idea. So if people are traveling through there, hunters traveling through there, you invite them, encourage them to stop.
Absolutely, yeah. They can stop in for more information, just to chat about their experience, tell us about their hunt. They like. We also get quite a few tourists, or you know, making the tour from the all through all the national parks as well, wanting to know, you know, what is we're doing for condors.
Yeah.
So we get to share a lot of information with a lot of folks.
Russ Norville, we appreciate the work you do day in and day out, and we especially appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care. Bye bye.
Russell Norville, our Avian Conservation Program Coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources. That's the way we start the hour. When we come back, we'll head south a little bit more. Not quite all the way to Lake Powell. We'll do that with our camp spot, but we'll check in with Mark Wade. Do a little road tripping next on KSL.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to do a little road tripping. It's just going to be with Mark this week. Bob's already on the road and out of touch here.
On the road again.
Oh.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
We go road tripping every week with Bob and Mark. You'll find them on the road at roadtrippingwithbobandmark.com. Odd that I would say, I guess I need to rephrase that. Bob's out of touch. Some would say he's that way most of the time, but I'll just say he's on the road with his final tour guiding work going on for 2021. Mark Wade is with us. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm just trying to stay warm in some of this cooler weather.
Yeah, we were joking with you a minute ago. You're down at Ponderosa Ranch, right?
That's right, right. And just it's up on top of Zion National Park, about 6,500 feet in elevation.
So. Yeah. Well, when it's 30 degrees here, you'll get no sympathy from us for struggling through the 50s down there. But I guess that is cold for that part of the state. You wanted to kind of focus on that part of the state. One of the things we were talking about, Russ, is as we start to lose all of the color up here with these storms that have passed through, winds, and particularly the snow that knocked down so many branches the other day and caused some power problems, we start to lose the color. But you can kind of work your way south and catch up with fall in that direction.
I don't know. Well, how is it? How much do you have left on the trees down there?
We're starting to lose it in the elevations down this way. But as you come towards St. George, and Zion Canyon is at 4,000 feet, so it's going to have color for another 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, good.
And
good.
Anywhere down around St. George has got color all through November. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you've got, I mean, that's one way to sort of chase the leaf color if you've got the time and the means to get away. Talk to me about the Loa and Bicknell area. I've passed through but never spent any significant time there.
Well, you know, it's kind of right in between Fish Lake and, let's say, Torrey and Capitol Reef. It's two small towns that are just in that area. And the Fremont River kind of starts up in that area and starts its way to the east and joins the Dirty Devil River over by Hanksville, where we were last week, where I was last week. But it's just a beautiful area that sits below. It's at the base of Thousand Lakes Mountain, which goes up 11,300 feet, and it's also close to Boulder Mountain, which is over 11,000 feet right below.
It's funny, we're talking about Fish Lake. That's another place that I've only been to a couple of times in my life. We did some ATVing in that neighborhood, but stayed at one of the cabins or lodges there and fished Fish Lake. And we were talking last week about the fact that the Blue Ribbon, Utah's Blue Ribbon Fisheries Advisory Council had done some work on new docks and viewing areas along the stream there. So it was on the top of our awareness anyway, but I haven't been to Fish Lake in a long time.
It's a beautiful area. You know, that's where they've got some of those big aspen groves that are supposed to be some of the largest in the world. And you know, the Fremont River runs close by, too. You're talking about fishing. Fremont is a great river for fishing in this area. It runs right by those two towns of Loa and Bicknell.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous spot. A couple of years ago, I was up there and did the big loop through Fish Lake and then over to the east and then back to Torrey. It's a nice drive. It's a beautiful property.
We used to have
Highway 24.
Yeah,
Highway 24 runs right through there. Sorry. Yeah.
We used to have one of the guys that was in charge of the resort area there was on the show on a regular basis. He was a river runner.
Right.
And ran a lot of rivers up in the Snake area, Snake River area of Idaho. And we just sort of lost track or lost touch with him there for a number of years. Sunglow Campground, where's that? That made your list this week.
Well, you know, this is a unique little place. If some people want to get away, you've got another week or two of camping, let's just say. It's going to be a little colder, but because Low and Bicknell are about 7,000 feet, but you can go east of there and get into it. It starts to drop in elevation in Torrey and other areas, but Sunglow Campground is this place that's just right off to the east side of Bicknell, and it's a Red Rock campground. It's only about 2 mile drive up into it, and it literally just glows with the sunrise and the sunset, all these red rock cliffs around it. Yeah. It's this beautiful little place that most people don't know about. And so if you're looking for a little getaway for the last of the season, Sunglow Campground. And, of course, you got to go to the Sunglow Restaurant in Bicknell and try that pickle pie that Bob loves.
I've heard of that, yeah.
That still just does not sound appetizing to me. But it must be good if they're famous for it all these years.
Put a lot of sugar on anything and it tastes good, right?
It's funny, this wildlife viewing area that you mentioned, the Bicknell Bottoms. That's a great name too.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal name. It's a wildlife viewing area, mostly a lot of birds that are coming in and out of that area. And it's the Fremont and some other drainages are feeding just that what they call the bottoms. Lots of bulrushes and swamp land, if you will, but you got geese and all kinds of birds that hang out there, and it's just a great place to watch the birds. Of course, this is a heck of a place to see deer and elk and other wildlife.
We were just up there. I went up there with Charlie. Been about 2 months ago, I think, and went up on top of the Boulder Mountains there. And that's a great drive, and you leave trailheads right in that area that you're talking about, and to run up to the top of the Boulder Mountains and run around a little bit, but make sure you've got good tires.
Yeah,
it's an easy road. It's not a four wheel drive road necessarily, but it is a really rough, rocky road.
Straight out of, as you mentioned that, Russ, straight out of Loa and out of Bicknell, there is a road that converges. That's a well-graded road for a while, as you say. And it goes into a place that I love. This is a magical place for me.
Yeah.
I spent a bit of time in there, and I've seen a lot of wildlife back there, pronghorn antelope even. And it's called Dark Valley. It's on the west slope of Boulder Mountain. And you can go back, as you say, you go back, and the further south you go, you're going to get into those rougher roads when you're UTV or ATV or your Jeep. But then you can work your way up on the Boulder Mountain. And, boy, is it a fantastic remote area. Yeah.
Did you get much snow at that elevation down there at all from this past week?
Yes. In fact, Bob and I were up on the Tushers and saw about 8 or 10 inches up at Eagle Point.
Oh, wow.
Higher elevation. But I was up, I lost the drone last week up there.
Oh, no.
At about 8,000 feet. Found it. That happened. But it was raining on me, and then the snow was coming. And so there was a little bit of snow at certain elevations, probably above 9 and 10,000 feet, and not below it. Not below.
Do you have drone insurance? Is there such a thing as that?
those things are
not cheap. And you sent one down the river, one off a cliff or into a cliff, and now this one went missing, but you found it. That's good news.
Yeah.
All right. We enjoy the pictures, we enjoy the video, and it's one of the reasons why we encourage everybody to follow you. It's just Road Tripping with Bob and Mark.com. Mark Wade joins us each week, and we always appreciate the time. Look forward to the next opportunity when we can do it face-to-face and sit in the same room and have some fun together.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you guys sometime soon.
All right. Yeah, Mark Wade, Road Tripping with Bob and Mark.com. Back with more in a minute.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.